Hey, this is Pat Flynn from Smart Passive Income, and you're listening to David Wood on the Kick-Ass Life Show.
Kick-Ass.
Whoa, that's kick-ass.
Welcome.
Make your life better?
This is the Kick-Ass Life Podcast with David Wood.
So I want to welcome you to the show, and I have a guest who's currently right now sitting in England. I'm actually looking at him on Skype. In fact, Andy, you know what we should do? We should turn the cameras off because we'll get a better sound. I can see your pretty face right there. But anyway, so this is going to be awesome because one of the great things about the journey, let's call it the life journey, is and for anyone that's really living a life that they love and being able to squeeze the juice out, as I like to call it, you know, really being able to crank up and amplify their life and really lead a kick-ass life, are people that really understand their own mind and really have the ability to create the world that they want to live in. And my guest, Andy, all the way from England, welcome to the show.
Thank you, sir.
Now, you know, you're about peak mindset, and about neurology and really sort of getting inside people's heads. And I love that when I asked you, I just want to fess up to everyone. I always like to tell them the real truth. I mean, you and I, we talked for what, a minute and a half about what the show could be about?
Yeah, maybe 2 minutes.
And I'm like, you know, just tell me what it is. What is it is that you do? I knew that you meant to be on the show. Give me this thing. And you talked about, you know, whether a boxer's going into a ring, whether a guy's going into a boardroom, you know, whether someone's moving on to stage, it's about allowing them to get into a peak mindset. Just answer that one question. So what does it mean to have a peak mindset?
Peak mindset means you're firing the right neurology, the right mind muscle. You have the right beliefs, the right attitude, the right language. Your physiology is firing automatically the right way. Your breathing rate, your heart rate. But guess what? It's all automatic. And that's the problem. So people try to step into daily life a certain way. Guess what? The program that's playing in the background of your heads, like the software that plays in the background of a computer, if it's not updated, if it's not maintained, guess what? It messes up. Same with your brain. Same thing.
You know, and let's look at that. Let's look at this sort of the advancement of humankind. It's 2014. Right? All right. And you think that we'd all have this stuff licked. You think that, you know, the whole world right now would have a peak mindset. They'd have a neurology that was powerful and positive. Why do you think it is that so many people are sort of subject to and imprisoned by these old tapes, you know, this old computer programming that's running through their head?
Yeah, it's you know, there's many different reasons, but it's, I mean, I've worked with, my client base is generally high end, like Saudi Arabian royalty to world champion athletes to entrepreneurs who are earning $10-20 million a year. That's my client base, you know. So I work with that level, and what I found is it doesn't really matter what type of people I'm working with. It's always the same crap. It's always the same problems that come up, you know, and. Again,
hold on, before you go off that, because I heard the whole world sigh there. What are the problems? Because they want to identify with and give us some of the same. What is some of that old crap that everyone's dealing with?
It's generally getting over the crap that we got brought in and taught by our parents. And society is an amazing thing. It teaches us to be another cog in the wheel. And they program our brain with all of this bullshit. And then it takes us a whole lifetime to deprogram it.
Well, and when we look at, I mean, I know that for me, I've trained just shy of 400,000 students. And I would say that self-love and self-worth, if I had to dissect and come down to sort of one central theme that seems to run through everybody, but this idea to look in the mirror and love what you see or love what I see and to be sort of have that feeling of self-worth, of value. I mean, is that along the lines of what we're talking about?
Yeah, it's you know what? If you get down to the root cause of it, like everything I've ever dealt with, that's that again, you're talking about athletes stepping into the event the right way, or somebody stepping a TV, someone stepping onto a TV set. It's the same thing. You're exactly right, bud. And everything I've found is exactly, it's lack of self-worth. It's lack of self, I don't deserve. And then all of the other things like the internal dialogue and everything else is just symptoms. But you've, yeah, surprising after seeing 400,000 people, mate. You kind of hit the nail on the head.
Well, it'd be funny if you said, no, actually, Dave, that's you're full of crap. It's nothing like that. All that work you've been doing is nonsense. Let's before we get into some of the things you've learned and discovered and what you can help with, talk about how did you get to be somebody that understood this neurology and understood how to create peak mindset? Well, what's your story?
It's a journey, bud. Like everyone's got a story, right? Everyone's got an amazing story. It's I basically grew up in Liverpool in England, and again, I don't know if people know about Liverpool, but it was back especially then. It was quite rough, and I came out of school, didn't have a job, didn't have anything.
But hold on. Let's give someone context, because I mean, obviously, I grew up in England, and when you say quite rough, for a lot of people, they may have a picture of what rough is. But really, England in that time, and yeah, and even to some regards today, and I know we have a lot of English listeners, so please understand that I you know, I'm not trying to give your country a slant because I am British, but let's talk about what rough is so people get an idea. What does rough mean to you?
Have you ever seen the film Snatch?
I have, but it doesn't mean everyone on the show has.
Right, that's basically the world I grew up in. If you haven't seen it, go and get it out. Download that thing with Brad Pitt. It's a case of, I grew up in a small little town just outside Liverpool, and everybody wanted to be a bad boy. Everyone wants to be a bad boy. People are going in and out of prison and all the rest of it. And again, it is down to what you said before, total lack of self-worth. And again, I came out of school, didn't know what I wanted to do, jumped around. Instead of going to college, university, I just went and got jobs. I worked always. And I've done martial arts since the age of 9 years old. So I've always trained, always kept my mind sharp like that, always had that discipline. And then basically, I was ended up working in a car factory at 21, right? And I'm 36 now, at 21. And I'd never really traveled, never been anywhere, never had the money to, and then went to Australia with my girlfriend, and life changed. It totally changed. I came back and I even said to her, I'm coming back. And I don't know if it's going to be with you, but I'm coming back.
Just being completely honest there.
Yeah. We're still friends and all the rest. That's been 4.5 years. And what happened was, is I got into IT. Computers. And that was, I'd never used a computer before or anything, but just knew that I wanted to earn money and travel, and got my way into that. And then at 24 years old, I basically was causing chaos in the company I was working for because I was bored and there was no way to grow and expand where my job role. And I just packed my bags, the money that I had, and I left for Australia on my own. And didn't have a job, didn't know anyone, and just went. My intuition pulled me that way across the other side of the world. And I went to get into IT contracting. I didn't. I found my way into sales. And sales is where I first learned neuro-linguistic programming. That's NLP. And that's where I started to learn. I remember my mentor. I mean, it sounds silly these days. It really does. But 12 years ago, I remember a gentleman called Peter Sivright, top guy in the world, American guy, and I was in Australia, which was crazy. And he was the first person ever to tell me that I had a choice about the thoughts that I'm thinking. And I'm not joking. How crazy does that sound these days, right?
Yeah, exactly. But you know, something before we go down that road a little bit more, I just want to say how common when I hear people who have gone from the sort of the hardship and again, that sort of growing up in England. And I know that for me, part of that sort of growing up in England, if I hadn't left, and that's what happened with you, you left England, you sort of ripped out of that sort of influence of what you believe to be true. Right. And sort of suddenly you're in a whole new continent in a country like Australia. And that sort of happened for me as well. It's when I left the environment and I didn't know I was going to stay. I wasn't going on an extended leave. I went for 6 days and it ended up being, you know, the rest of my life, I'd never been back. but you know, that, well, it was almost like waking up. Did you find that suddenly you looked around and you thought, oh my gosh, you mean the world isn't like what I thought it was? Is that kind of what happened with you in Australia?
Oh, it was funny. You know what? I was standing there. I'd been there like a month. And I remember standing outside the hotel and I was standing with all my bags behind me and I was just watching everyone, just holding my bags, making sure no one stole them. And I was just eyeballing everybody. And then I caught myself and went, dude, you're the only person doing this. Everyone else is smiling and happy. And that was one of the biggest realizations, that everything that I'd learned about the world was, that's it. It was my world. It doesn't mean it is the world. And you have certain beliefs about the world, certain attitudes, and all of these things, that mind muscle, it's just getting built and built and built. And then you go, oh, this is the world. This is it. But you mean you know all about this. And then you change the environment. And guess what? All the boundaries around what you think is real and possible changes. And then you have to open up to what else is there out here? And that's where everything begins to change, you know?
Well, I was thinking when I left England, I was a window cleaner. I cleaned chimneys. I had a chimney sweep business, a window cleaning business, and I had a painting and decorating business. I was like a little jack of all trades. But, you know, I was thinking about, you know, I used to work down a pub on weekends and play on a dart team. But for me, my concept of the world and really what it represented, I had no idea what people did in Australia or whether Australia really didn't exist for me or any of the other countries I traveled to since. But, you know, I knew that the influence of the friends that I had, which at the time was all about, you know, smoking drugs and getting drunk. And if we weren't getting drunk, we were high. If we weren't getting high, we were drunk. And then when we weren't doing either of those, we were getting into trouble with the cops, you know. but that was very, I mean, that was just something that for you as well, it sounds like you had that same kind of influence where, and if you ever attempted, what I found was, even when I started thinking differently, because just before I left on my trip, you know, I had a sort of a realization that I wanted something else. I realized that I didn't want to spend my life, you know, getting drunk and high the whole time. But right. It almost felt like, you know, to the risk of wanting something different was quite dangerous in those settings, because suddenly all the people you knew, all the friendships you had, were wrapped into this behavior. And as soon as you wanted different behavior, suddenly, you know, the ostracization of you or losing all your mates. I mean, it's a pretty hard thing sometimes to get rid of the environment or to step out of the environment, right?
It is. And they call that in Australia, New Zealand, the tall poppy syndrome.
Right.
You know, so the poppy gets above the grass and the grass just pulls it back down. And it was funny. I remember listening to, it was a billionaire actually, I was at a seminar. And he was saying that it's interesting. He was saying he wasn't from the UK, but maybe he was talking about the UK. Can't remember. And he was just bought a brand new Lamborghini and he was driving there. And he said, he pulled up at the traffic lights and some guy said, you know, just started swearing at him, giving him loads of abuse and you calling him this and that. And he's like, wow, I was just at the traffic lights. And he said, then he was in LA or Vegas. And he said, he pulled up at the traffic lights and somebody said to him, oh mate, that's an amazing car. Well done, mate. How did you get that? Two totally different worlds.
Yeah.
And it was funny. I was just come back to the UK and I don't have this issue in years. And my mum's got like a little sports car, nothing amazing. You know, I definitely don't come from money. And someone put a key scratch right down the whole length of the car the other day. Mm. And it's like confusing, very confusing. They say your network is your net worth. And I generally, over the last 12 years, my whole network is just, it's just people who are rich, successful, happy, will champion athletes. And guess what? They hold you to the same standard and everybody gets on in a different way. It's crazy, right?
Yeah. Well, again, and as we start talking about NLP, I mean, I really think that this environment piece for a lot of people right now, they're stuck in toxic environments. And even just getting themselves out of that, even for a moment, just sort of going, I mean, even traveling to a different part of the country and just going for a week or 2 weeks and really seeing what's out there. I mean, can be such a great start. And by the way, I know that you're in England right now and your grandfather, right?
Just my grandfather,
grandfather just passed away. So I just want to send my condolences to you as well.
Thank you.
So again, here you are. we have a lot in common in the sense that grew up in the tough part of England, and sort of left, not knowing why we left, and then discovering something that was just beyond probably our combined comprehension. But if we look at NLP and we describe it, the science of modeling the patterns of human behavior. And so the fact that NLP explores the inner workings of the human mind, how we think, how we develop our desires, goals, fears, and how we motivate ourselves and make connections and give meaning to our experiences. Is that kind of a good description of it?
That's a really nice description of it, and it really is. And you can use this internally and externally. And it's really, all neurolinguistics is it's a systematic breakdown of what we already do inside of our heads. And so it's basically given it a structure. It's a structure to thoughts. Really, neurolinguistics came around by like literally this. It was they looked at how somebody created the result and how you could replicate it, how they think, how they feel, how they act. Mm. And then you break that down into a strategy, and then people could replicate that. The military took on that, and he looked at sharpshooters, and then every industry across the world at the highest level uses neurolinguistics, whether that's in sales, athletics, et cetera, et cetera. Even just getting over issues. I work with a lot of entrepreneurs and athletes over the last X amount of years. But when I first started back in the day, it was... You know, people will come in. I've worked with multiple rape victims that no one else could fix. I've worked with people that, I had a friend of actually mother's actually was coming back like probably 4 years ago, and I just visited. And in the couple of months I was visited, her friend was falling unconscious. No rational explanation. She went to see 5 doctors. No one could fix her. I fixed it and sorted out in a session. And it's not that I'm magical. It's just that it's about the unconscious mind, and people need to be aware of how to navigate this thing. And basically that's what one of the things that it's not the only thing, but neurolinguistics at least gives you a nice solid foundation of how to navigate around your own brain.
Mm. So let's just talk about that. Let's talk about someone right now and in the two different shows that I'm doing, and this, I'm going to air this in both shows. Cool. We've got people who are either in network marketing, home-based business, right. who are, you know, they're starting out on a journey, and quite often people will quit because they never really get in, and they don't understand this idea of NLP where they can look at a model the behaviors, the attitudes, the actions of successful people around them. And every single successful person around them in that profession are willing to help them anyway. They're willing to be model. It's not like they have to, you know, they can actually go up and ask them questions. They can really interact with their space. And then we have the Kick-Ass Life Group, which is really about people who want to lead extraordinary lives and really kick ass and have this amazing thing. So those are our two groups. So let's talk to both of them. And let's just say, okay, if I'm starting out and I don't have everything that I want yet. And I know that there's this yearning of dissatisfaction going on deep inside, which I'm sure that you felt when you were working in your factory before you left for Australia, or, you know, there's a part of you that was knew there was something else out there. Was that kind of what happened for you?
Yeah. The way I look at it is I've really rebuilt my life, by the way, several times. And that's a whole different story we can get into, but it's a whole different story. And again, you're working in that car factory. People have got to understand that's just where you are. It's not who you are. Mm. And it's a totally different understanding, because there's always this part inside of everybody that knows that they're more than what they're doing. And it's even like, it doesn't matter. I've got clients who are, you know, doing $16 million product launches. And guess what? They're still driving, because it becomes not about the money. Because the first place is always to start is what is exciting you. We've all got different skills and we've all got different strengths. And some of the, like Bill Gates and Charlie Munger and all of these people, they show you about to build on your strengths, not build on your weaknesses. And it's, again, it starts from school. It starts from all of these things. And they'd want to train us to be another cog in the mechanism. And at the end of the day, if you broke down, I say this, it sounds so cheesy what I'm about to say. And it sounds so cheesy.
don't worry. I won't tell anyone that you're cheesy.
But the thing is, if somebody... one of the podcasts, my podcast is Mindset by Design, which I'm launching in about 2 weeks. So again, it's life by design, mindset by design. And to sit down, and the most successful people in the world know exactly where they're heading. They know what they're trying to do. They're trying what they're trying to do for accomplish for that month, that year, and maybe in 5 years. It might not be what they guess, but they're heading and building their life towards that direction. And at the end of the day, that's the difference that makes the difference. You have to build these thoughts. It's like a personal trainer, right? I mean, you go to see a personal trainer. You go to see a personal trainer to build muscle on the outside. But you're sitting there and you might feel a little pumped up after a week, but no one's going to see any muscles on you. It's going to take 6 weeks. It's going to take 2 months. It's going to take 6 months. And then people are going to start saying, you're looking good. It's the same with your brain. It's the same thing. Neurology is a muscle. Neuroplasticity means that you can make constantly new connections. And if you don't lift the muscle, guess what? It shrinks. And it's the same
Neuroplasticity, which I think is something which, a lot of the new science of the brain has happened in the last 12 years. And, you know, the idea that we can completely rewire, reprogram the brain is something that is relatively new. I mean, it's not always been known scientifically to be proven that we can. It doesn't matter what our circumstance, what our background, it doesn't matter what's happened to us. It doesn't matter. And you use the term rape. I mean, it doesn't matter what's gone on, as far as it could be the most brutal things that have happened. It can be, you know, you could have grown up in a perfect family, but, you know, found your way to an awful path. What we know to be true now is that every single person listening to this show can reprogram themselves and have whatever life they want. Is that true, or is that a true statement?
It's as true as it's going to get, because at the end of the day, I mean, you rewind again, you look at people like Oprah Winfrey, right? And again, it's another cheesy story, but at the end of the day, you look at her life. She's one of only a couple of female billionaires in the world. And she started out by being absolutely incredibly abused, locked in attics, and was just beaten. The only reason why she knew there was a different world was from the books that she read. What did that believe? That expanded. Yeah, sorry. What did that happen? Well, she expanded her beliefs. She expanded new thoughts and new perceptions about the world. And that's what begins to change. You have this little filter system in your brain, and it works like your Gmail account. I mean, you're getting flooded with emails every single day. And what happens with the email? Well, your filter system, you can set it to different stuff in your email account. It deletes what it thinks you don't want. It puts the rest in your spam folder. And what you see in your inbox is what it's set for you to see. Same with your brain. We get flooded with all of these millions of bits of information, and your filter system deletes what it thinks you don't want, and your beliefs, your attitudes, your language are all programmed. So that's generally how life starts to get created around us.
Yeah, and when we talk about that filter system, the reticular activating system, the RAD, yeah. I like to call it, right? What you just said there, which I think was really profound, is the fact that if we use the analogy which everyone gets, they have this spam box, they have the emails they choose to read that they can open, but their filter system has settings. What happens with a negative person or someone who has low self-esteem and negative thoughts, they're programming their filter system to make them only aware of the shitty stuff around them, right?
Yep, that's it. And then guess what? You're building that muscle, and that muscle gets bigger and bigger, thicker and thicker, and easier to do. And it's set to that filter system, which is set to a certain chemical response. And then you're repeating that pattern. And guess what? The type of life you have.
And guess who you attract? So your environment often contributes to the start of that thinking process. The continual self-doubt, negativity in our head builds the superhighways in the brain. That allows us to sort of feel and act a certain way. And because we're acting that certain way, we attract everything like it. So if we're having shitty thoughts, we attract shitty things. And then that perpetuates our belief that the world is like that. And that's why two people can be standing side by side. And you talked about it, the one guy with the Lamborghini. Wow, great job. Hey, listen, what can you do? You know, and you know, that idea that we become a self-fulfilling prophecy. And this is why NLP, or the understanding of NLP, and the understanding that each one of us does have control, is so important, right?
It's so important. It becomes paramount to understand something. The principle I teach is to be able to control your mind. You control your mind, you control your emotions. You control your emotions, you control your mindset, or that peak state that you step in and out of. And you control that, you control your results. I mean, I've set, like, going back like 12 years, I was investment real estate. And I owned my own businesses. I was the top performer in Australia, New Zealand. I've seen over 2,500 clients face to face. It was a case of the ability to be able to consistently control your emotional state and step in and out of that peak state. And this is before I even knew how to do any of that. I just knew how to close people and build rapport. That was really what I learned in the first couple of years. But it has to come honestly, and it has to come from the heart. And there's too many people out there who are just trying to be somebody else. And what works is being yourself. That's the point.
That authenticity, right? Piece. I mean, again, because there's another part of the brain, right? Which is, well, even the RAS, I mean, to some extent, when we get that weird feeling about people, we don't know why we don't like them. We don't know why we don't trust them. There's just that feeling. I mean, that's the RAS picking up on all of the non-conscious clues, right? It's kind of picking up that you're inauthentic. And so that when we're not congruent, you know, I think as human beings, we have a BS meter that's really, you know, that's quite adept, and we're not sure what it is. So let's talk a little bit about first steps. We've got people listening right now saying, no, I like this guy. I mean, he's making so much sense. And now here I am. I don't have everything I want. My mind is kind of wandering all over the map, and it's attracting to me maybe some of the things I don't want and not enough of what I do want. What's some first steps? How does someone start out to start to understand that they can get to a peak sort of mindset?
For sure. And again, I'm going back to that cheesy word again. It's write down, sit down. I've told this to so many people over the years.
So yes. Many, I like that. So many.
That's a bit of American coming out, a bit of Australian, a bit of British. but it sit down and write, first of all, the top 10 things that excite you, that you wouldn't get paid for each day, but you'd love to do each day. Guess what? Might sound ridiculous, might sound obvious. How many people actually sit down and work that out? Then the next thing is to work out, design your perfect day. And I mean this, my perfect day is burnt into my head. It is burnt that I could tell you in the most vivid details, step by step. Guess what? You build that. This you're aligning towards what you want. This is the same thing if you're doing a sales call. I mean, you sit down, you might have been arguing a few moments ago, but cool. Well, don't bring that emotion into that sales call, right? Because it'll affect your tonality, your pace, your pitch, your belief, everything, man. And it's a case of being able to control those states, being able to realize you can design the outcome that you want, being able to realize you've got control of it starts to change the world that you live in. And something I want to mention about your RAS, your filter system, is it works like this. The simplest way I can describe it, it's like, how many times have you gone to buy a car or bought a car, and you might not have seen that car many times before, but as soon as you buy it, the damn thing is everywhere, right?
That is so true, isn't it?
So true. Does that mean the car didn't exist before? No, it means your filter system wasn't set to see it. That's the same with money. That's the same with success. That's the same with happiness. And when people start to understand that nothing's real, nothing, it's just memories, and people give it, yeah, well, my memory, you know, I'm remembering the past and I'm feeling shit right now, or I'm thinking about the future and I'm really scared. They're real. They're not. They're really not. And if I was to, if you, me, David, and a couple of other cool people, mate, were supposed to go out for dinner tonight, and I was to sit down everyone in 2 weeks and go, okay, what happened? Every single person would have a different memory of that night. Some people are remembering good food, bad food, a hot waitress, or the uncomfortable chair, whatever it is. Everyone has a different version of reality. And why is it that in neurolinguistics, I can take you back to any memory and I can play with it? Memories aren't real. You're thinking about the future isn't real, but it's really, what is the result that you're getting? If the result's not what you want, well, guess what? The awesome thing is that you can change it.
Mm. And I mean, and people who live in peak state, I mean, for some people it sounds exhausting, but actually when you're around anyone who has a peak mindset, it's actually exciting, right? Because there is an energy of possibility, maybe it's the wrong word, but I almost feel that everything's possible when you have a peak mind, right?
Yeah, it is. And there's definitions of a peak mind. I describe a peak mindset as it's unique thing. Meaning that I'm stepping in, if I'm putting a fighter into a cage, right? That sounds quite harsh, but that's also what I do.
Get in a cage. for those of you that don't understand fighting, so the UFC, for example, they use a cage, an octagon cage, where people go in and fight as opposed to a ring. So just there you go. I'll clean that up for you.
Cheers, mate. It's all purely martial arts. It's purely martial arts. But it's, again, that I use an extreme example, because that person standing there about to step into that ring or that cage is what? Well, they're thinking, feeling, acting a very unique way. Their focus is a very certain way. Their beliefs, their attitudes, the language, right? Their heart rate, their adrenal glands, everything's a very unique thing. And imagine that as a bubble. Well, that's not the same version of them. That's not the same peak state as when you're talking to your mom or you're going on a date or you're trying to relax. So you can create optimum states for everything. But what you're talking about, David, is you're absolutely right, mate. Like a general peak mindset. Because we've all had moments in our life, right, where we're all on fire. That might be for a day, a month, a year, and then something changes. Mm. And what changed? Well, I used to work with smokers years and years and years ago. And it was funny because you get all these smokers who stopped and then they started smoking again. And I'd be like, well, why'd you start smoking again? And they go, I don't know. Well, you do know. You stopped doing what worked. The way you were getting up in the morning, what you were doing and everything. And then you went back to those old patterns that didn't work and you smoked. This is the same with life. So for people out there, start paying attention to when you're on form. What's the blueprint of when you're on fire, when you're on form? Because what you're eating, what music you're listening to, time you get up in the morning and what you do, all even those simple things make a massive, massive difference.
Mm. So if somebody right now, let's talk about so the opposite of a peak state. So yep. Somebody who's noticing that they are not in a peak state. In fact, you know, that they struggle with that. Because I mean, it's like the same thing we talked about with someone scratching the side of a car. You know, sometimes people are around positive people and they'll say things like, oh gosh, you're like so happy. As if it's a disease, you know, or why are you so happy all the time, right? But if someone was starting way back there, you know, where they're really not, they really haven't got that concept with this list that we've talked about, you know, the top 10 things that excite you, and then designing the perfect day. So if we got to that stage, where do we go from there? What's the next step?
Well, I always like to do a few different things, because to me, we, as entrepreneurs especially, our minds are always going future past, future past, future past, future past. They're not very still. So try to make it still. Many ways to do that. You can meditate. There's a million different things out there. But really, I offer like three key principles to creating presence in your brain, right? And the first one is really, doesn't matter where you are in life, accept it. Most people can't handle that. I call it something called the reality model. It's where are you now? Yeah, but I'm going to do this tomorrow. I'm going to do this. And what they do is they're delusional. It's like, no, where are you now? It's okay. Remember, like I said before, when I was working in a car factory, it's not who I am. It's just where I am. And it's just accepting it. This is it. Okay. Can you change it? Yeah. But accept where you are and the circumstances that you're in. Then like what that does is starts to give you freedom, because it's like, it's quite, it, rather than going, oh, I should be here. No, you're here right now. You can change it, but you're here right now. So the first step is calming your mind down. And that's first step is accepting where you are. Second step I like to say is not attaching to anything. And what I mean by that, people go, what are you talking about? And what I mean by that is, you become obsessed with one outcome. And I love obsession, by the way, and I'm OCD and ADD and all the rest of it. And the people out there, you probably can relate. But it's non-attachment, Meaning, if you become so obsessed with one goal, I've got to have $5,000 by the end of this month. That's it. $5,000. Well, what are you doing from an unconscious neurological point of view? What emotion are you blasting out towards that $5,000? Panic, fear, or all the rest of it? We're supposed to design where you're going. Again, mindset by design, life by design. You're supposed to be designing where you're going, designing the result that you want. But by becoming so locked on to one outcome, it's just going to freak you out. You're not going to be in optimum performance. You're not going to be in peak state. The beliefs around your filter system, we'll go back to the rise, your filter system and your beliefs around that event, that outcome that you really, really want, isn't going to happen because truly your belief, you don't believe you're getting it. So does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Awesome.
Right.
And number three, three steps.
Yeah, there's three, bud. And the biggest one that I which slaps me in the face every time. and I do this a lot for myself. When you get, because we all get overwhelmed. And this is something everyone out there has got to listen. Everyone out there listening has got to remember. Doesn't matter what level you think someone's playing at, we're all human. And we all, if you've got $100,000 in the bank, guess what? You're still driving towards 500. If you've got $10 million in the bank, guess what? You want $20 million. It doesn't end. So the first step is gratitude. And again, it sounds so cheesy coming out my mouth, but it's so ridiculously powerful. If you can sit down when you're overwhelmed and stressed and anxious or whatever it is, or just not happy, and you write down the top five things that you're grateful for, and I don't mean just writing them down and going, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean writing them down and feeling into each one of them. It doesn't matter what is going on in your life. It doesn't matter if you could be living in a hole. You write those things down, it just humbles you. It brings you right down to presence. I mean, for example, I've lived in Bali, right? And I lived in a really nice place in Bali. And the reason why is because I wanted, because I work silly hours sometimes, you know, 14, 15 hour days. And then I might take the day off or whatever the next day. But I'll be sitting there. And the reason why I wanted to live in a nice place was definitely not about, hey, come and look at my place. Well, maybe it was a little bit of that. But really, it was about me looking up from working and going, damn, wow, I'm so grateful. This is why I'm working. This is why I'm working so hard. Yeah. This is why everyone else playing and I'm designing this.
Well, and we talked about that earlier. Sorry to interrupt in there, but you know, one of the things that I was unable to articulate is this life by design, is that I feel that in my own head, there's this complete awareness that I'm constantly designing, excuse my throat. I'm constantly designing this great story. And for the same reason that you just talked about in Bali, I find that I put myself into situations where I can work really hard. And while I'm working, I'm surrounded with such beauty. And it's so refreshing. And at any moment, I can step out into my deck. But I feel like even this house, when I found the house we're in right now, it was almost by design. I wanted to have a place where I could wander upstairs and have my office and have a place that's really beautiful to be in. And I could close that door, wander downstairs and completely detach from work and could be completely immersed in my kids or in the lifestyle we lead. Yeah. And I hadn't really been able to articulate that it's so conscious. But as you were talking, I kind of got this mindset that, yeah, you know, that's constantly in the back of my mind. How do I keep designing this perfect life that I want? And is that something that you see is a conscious thing with most successful people? Or?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, at the end of the day, we all want different things. If everybody, you know, wrote down what they want, I promise you most people, 9 out of 10, they'll be totally different, you know, because people want to travel. Some people want a family. Some people, there's so many different intricate details, but successful people understand that they've been successful because they've designed what they've done to get there. Mm. It's not an accident. People look like the Hollywood stars or top musicians or that. Guess what? You might see them in all this shiny outcome. You might see them with all the money, but you haven't seen the 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for the 10 years previous that have led them up to that moment that you're seeing them on that camera. It's everything is designed. Everything should be designed if it's not. Doesn't mean you get unexpected things happen all the time. Of course you do. good and bad. But at the end of the day, if you constantly pushing towards a direction, it's in alignment with you, meaning it's your passions, you're loving it, what you're doing. The biggest lesson I got taught years ago was build the business, the money will come. And it's something, because I've been doing all these podcasts, so I've interviewed over the last month, I've interviewed like 16, 17 like world-class people. And one of the biggest things that I found, which was so interesting, and all these people are my friends, but it's like no one focuses on money. Not a single person focuses on money. They focus on building the business. They focus on making the best version of them possible. And then they know the money will come. It's a totally different mindset, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And tell us, when's your podcast being launched?
Hopefully next week. I'm just getting the final things and we're putting it together. I used to have another one. It was called Andy Murphy Podcast, but I was just playing around, but now we're making a good one.
we'll make sure that we let everyone know how they can get hold of that. Andy, when you look at your perfect day, and you mentioned that you kind of have that thing licked up, I wonder, because I was just going through my mind when I give these two exercises to people, the struggle sometimes, if you've been, let's say you're working in the factory, all your friends just get drunk at night, whatever. And I'm sure a lot of people who listen to this show don't have that situation. Because they're listening to this show. But how do you give us an idea about that perfect day design for you? What does your perfect day look like? So other people could say, oh, I never thought of that. That would be awesome. Sure.
Yeah. Well, I've got pretty much a view like you've got right there, buddy, for a start, like in your house. That's something like that is the view. So what I do is this is totally ingrained in my head. I'm waking up feeling totally refreshed after 8 hours sleep. I lean over with my left hand. I press the buzzer. The whole 180 blinds go back of my bedroom, and it leaves a complete beautiful ocean view. I look over, the bedroom door's open. I see an open plan room with wooden floors. I look over into the kitchen. My girl is in the kitchen dancing, singing, and cooking breakfast. And then I smile, look over at her. I open my laptop and I check that the money's coming from the night before, which is on autopilot. And then I get up. And as we're eating breakfast, we know that the personal trainer is coming for that day, whether that's strength and conditioning, whether that's jujitsu, whether that's whatever it is, that person's coming for the day. And then we're going to be able to go out and do that. And then it goes on like that. I mean, we can keep going and keep going. Then I have this image of me just running out the door with my girl, and we've got two beautiful cars in the driveway, and the house is overlooking the ocean. And
so I'm just jumping for a sec. So yeah, what I got from that, and what I'm glad I asked the question now, is when you design that day, you design every moment of it. And some of this stuff that you're talking about right now is the design that's coming. So you're actually designing what the day is going to look like in your future. Is that kind of what you're talking about here?
Yeah, you can go on and on and on. But the thing is, about designing it in that much detail, you're building something called, you're building the building blocks of a memory. You're building the building blocks. And if you're building those little details, in neurolinguistics, we call them submodalities. And those are the colors, the brightness, the contrast, just in the focus. When you start playing around with all of those things, it makes the memory so much more vivid, which makes it so much more intense, which makes it more novelty and appealing to the unconscious mind, which means you're going to want to go back there more, which is means you're going to pull you along them faster.
I like that, because again, I didn't grasp that from your first description of the detail, opening your eyes and, pushing a button, the curtains open and the views there. I mean, just everything, every part of how you want it to be, who's in your life, what that relationship looks like, what you choose Absolutely. To do with each part of the day. Great. That's awesome. I'm glad I asked that question. So look, we don't have long left to the end of the show. Is there a question that you would like me to have asked you that I haven't asked you? Something that you'd like to go with these last few minutes here?
That's a good question. So I'm going to ask you what the question you need to ask me about the question is.
Hey, slippery guy. Yeah. Well, I suppose the question that comes to mind for me is just that, as far as your this life by design, this idea that we can design our mindset, we can design our life, and really truly have this extraordinary living human experience. What do you say to someone as far as, you know, if I start today and I embrace this philosophy and I start to really program and I really start to live in a peak state in all areas, understanding that there's peak states everywhere, you know, yes. So your peak state with your mother would be different from your peak state on stage. All of these understandings, we have that. Yes. How long does it take for someone who is like starting out right now to really go from ordinary to extraordinary? How long can that journey take? Is it a matter of minutes, days, months, years?
Well, the thing is, you can feel however you want now. That's the thing. What everyone does is like, oh, again, it's a classic thing that people talk about now. But again, happiness attached to something, like attached to a certain amount of money or a certain future. And at the end of the day, the emotion is already inside of you. So you can feel whatever you want to feel in the moment. And does it mean that's easy? No, it means it's simple. It means it's simple. And the thing is, we all get stuck in fear. It's because outside of the boundary that we put around our world, outside, we don't know what's there. So the unconscious mind is doing a default setting, which is trying to keep you safe. And by designing what's outside of this boundary, then we're expanding what's possible, which means that then we can move forward without this fear. The best advice, it was funny because you mentioned at the very start, my grandfather just died. Well, my grandmother, she's not got a long left. But she's read thousands of books. We were 87 years old. I'm still talking about quantum physics and loads of stuff with this girl, this lady. And I said to her the other day, and I recorded like the whole conversation for an hour and a half, because it might be one of the last, you know? And I was saying, okay, you're 87 now. Give me some golden nuggets. What's the biggest thing that you can tell me right now? And she gives it, you know what? None of this matters. And I'm like, what? And she says, none of it matters. Everything that you've been worrying about, stressing about, focused on all your life, none of it matters. I'm 87 years old. I haven't got long left. And I'm lying here. Do you think all of those things I was worried about even concern anymore? And I was like, no. And she said, that's the point. So you can do whatever you want, because at the end of the day, none of it matters. So just be expansive. Just think infinitely. Put yourself around the people that inspire you and learn from the people that have already walked the walk, because that's the point. If you're hanging around with people who are doing 9-to-5 jobs and all your conversations about 9-to-5 jobs, guess what? That's building your neural net. That's building your filter system. That's building your world. If you're hanging around with really successful people, it doesn't matter if they're millionaires or not. It means they're driven, they're passionate, they're moving forwards. If you're hanging around with those people, guess what you're doing? Your conversations, your beliefs, your opportunities are a totally different experience. So again, that was a bit tangent.
Oh, no, it was great. It was great. It was a really great way. I also want you to introduce me to your mom's, your grandmother's neighbor. She's 107. She's living alone. All right. And she still talk a little bit about how does a woman at 107, what's she like? Just describe her so that we all have this hope that we can actually have that kind of mindset when we're 107.
Amazing. Right. And her mind is still sharp. She is so determined. She's just so determined. Nothing breaks that. She does what she focuses on whatever it is. And she just, that's what she does. And she said to herself, no, I'm going to live on my own. I don't want to go into a residential home. This is it. I guess that's what she does. So she becomes so focused on her being able to do certain things that she keeps doing it. Again, neuroplasticity, right? Keep building that. She reads a lot. She keeps herself entertained. Up until a couple of years, she was going to bowling like 3 or 4 times a week. she started, this is funny. She started going on cruises at 101.
I love it. I love it. Well, you know, that's a great way for us to stop. Listen, it was so great to have you on the show. We'll get you back on. And I know that you're with your show, if you want me to jump on there with you, I'd be happy to come on and help you with yours and help you promote your show out to people. You really got a great energy, and it's easy to listen to, and it's a great message. So thanks so much.
Oh, thank you, David. That's nice words, buddy. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
Ciao.
That was kick ass.